Well, we had an author on last hour, and we're about ready to do another one. And brand new book that's out, The Fatigue Prescription, authored by Linda Hawes Clever, MD, Four Steps to Renewing Your Energy, Health, and Life. And I have Dr. Clever on the line right now. Dr. Clever, are you there?
Yes, and it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You are a Stanford, you're a Stanford grad. You also worked in the medical school. You're currently the Associate Dean for Alumni Affairs at the School of Medicine. And so much more that I can't even fit it all in one phrase. Welcome to KZSU, and can you briefly introduce yourself to the audience?
Thanks so much. I am Cardinal, just from undergraduate, from medical school, had much of my training there. I met my husband there. Our daughter went there as an undergraduate. She also is a physician, as is my husband. And I would say a major thing in our life is that our daughter had twins on Valentine's Day. She's on the faculty at Johns Hopkins. So we talk a lot about refreshing, renewing, being together as a family, medicine, and the state of the world. I've been involved in many other things that I think that we all need to use our education not just for what we're passionate about in our professions, but also for our communities and neighborhoods. So I've chaired boards and so forth and so on, and that's how I learned about renewing.
Very, 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 very nice. I'm extremely honored to be interviewing you. You're also the director and the founder of the not-for-profit organization Renew.
Yes.
Speak about that a little bit.
What happened to me about 15 years ago was in the arc of my life, everything kind of crashed in a series of just terrible and tragic ways, having to do with my parents who died and lost jobs, and my husband got sick, and he's fine now, which is great, and house was burglarized. All these things, you know, can happen to anybody. And so once I started recovering myself and my energy, I kind of upped Periscope and looked around and saw that a lot of people were just plain tired, not necessarily clinically depressed at all, but just kind of running on fumes. And it turns out that when you run on fumes, you can't be very creative and you can't be very enthusiastic, and our world is in a kind of situation that we need to have as much enthusiasm and effectiveness as we can get. So with John Gardner, who was also a trustee at Stanford, and I was a trustee there for 14 years, and John was on the board too, and he had written a great deal about excellence and leadership and renewing. And so we talked and said, you know, this is a perfect time to try to turn theory into practice, and how can people renew, whether you're a graduate student or whether you're on the faculty or whether you're living your life, you can get tired doing good, and you can get bored, and you can get wondering if you're climbing the right mountain. And so we started Renew, again, the not-for-profit, and it has its own website, which is renewnow.org. Renewnow is all one word, .org.
Okay.
And we have seminars and workshops and keynotes and consultations, working with groups because there's so much strength in groups. And then I listened to people for all those years across the country about how do people refresh and renew and regain their ability to be creative and solve problems. And that's how the book got written, is I listened and then I wrote and did research along the way.
Did it help you in your life?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, you see, this is the thing. We're all pretty smart. We're all pretty capable. And yet we don't have to have all the ideas ourselves. And listening to other people got me a lot smarter and wiser. And that's what I tried to capture with the book, too, is how can we listen to and learn to? How can we listen to and learn from each other?
Mm-hmm. You've touched on some really, really interesting areas of everyday life. Your book deals with all this, and it's like you say, it's a prescription The Fatigue Prescription is the name of the book. 4 steps to renew your energy, health, and life. And several different things really stuck out to me. In the introduction, you have the Renew-O-Meter. And this is a kind of a little test one can take. And you can even grade yourself point-wise. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to just run past these 10 little questions that you ask. Would that be okay?
It'd be fine. I would just say they're all based on really a lot of evidence and research. So they're layers beyond each question, but go. Yeah.
Yeah. Number one is you ask a question, and then the reader can grade themselves on a point scale. How many times did you really laugh yesterday? Number two is, how often do you learn something new? Number three is, how many times in the past 3 days do you or others think you overreacted? Let a little thing get to you in a big way. How often in the past, number four is, how often in the past month did you feel trapped, a prisoner of circumstances? Number five, how often do you typically have conversations with friends outside your profession? Number six, when did you last feel bold enough to take a risk? Number seven, how many sit-down dinners did you have with your family or friends in the past week? Number eight, how many times in the past week did you spend more than 1 hour refreshing your body or spirit, not counting eating or sleeping? Number nine, how often do you consider your own aspirations when you make decisions? And number 10, when was the last time you encouraged someone? These are amazing questions, and I didn't take the test, but just in reading them, I really had to question, you know, my life and what I was doing. So I can obviously tell you set this up on purpose. It's kind of, it leads you right into really questioning what the fatigue prescription is all about.
Well, it's true, and it makes me smile because it's so interesting to use that in a group, and then the way the book is set up, it's really kind of a workbook all the way through, so you can write in it and check boxes and draw if you want, turn down the corners, even though it is on Kindle, which is harder to turn down the corners on Kindle, but people some who do Kindle sometimes make their own charts and fill it out right next to the electronics. It is meant to get people thinking about how they're doing, and that is in fact the first step in the fatigue prescription. The first step is awareness, which is kind of smell the coffee, and that's what the Renew-O-Meter does. And again, one of the things that's kind of fun with groups is to ask people which questions, not how many points you got or not trying to pry or anything like that, but which, if any of the questions kind of jumped out at you, really said, whoa, that's me, that makes me think about myself. And there are absolutely some favorites that people have that's really kind of great to listen to, and that becomes the start of a conversation.
Linda Hawes Clever, MD, is our guest for this half hour. She's the Associate Dean for Alumni Affairs at the School of Medicine here at Stanford, but also a recent author of this book, The Fatigue Prescription, 4 Steps to Renewing Your Energy, Health, and Life. And the 4 steps, the 4 steps, awareness, reflection, conversation, and plan and act.
Yes, and we just talked a little bit about awareness, which is, again, how's my life going? How are the people around me doing? How's the neighborhood going? Just kind of to take a moment and think about how are things feeling these days. Then, once you kind of say, well, maybe there could be some improvement, or am I climbing the right mountain, or, you know, people are really, really busy, but they want to have some meaning in their lives, and they want to have some pleasure, too. I was talking with a physician the other day who said, you know, I have plenty of meaning in my life. I want some joy. So that's the awareness part. Then comes reflection, which is, how did it get this way? How did it feel, or how does it feel? And very importantly, who might my allies be? Who might I get some help from? Who might I talk with? Who do I admire? How do they do it? So to have some time for kind of a delicious sort of thinking. Then comes conversation, which is not the same as texting and is not the same as Twittering and is not the same as emailing. It's really sitting down over a cup of something or a glass of something with people you respect and or love and or admire, and just have some thoughts together, because just as you had asked earlier, you know, did I learn anything writing the book? In a conversation, you learn from each other, and you have some ahas, and you said, no kidding, she did that? Well, I could try that, too. And we actually, at Stanford, it was a couple weeks ago, I lose track of time, we had a wonderful meeting with graduate students who are also mothers. We could also do it with graduate students or fathers, too. However, what was wonderful was in the conversation part, people, first of all, discovered that they're not alone, because we do tend to feel so alone sometimes. And two, they were getting ideas from each other. Well, you know, maybe I could talk to my advisor. Maybe I could do this. Maybe I could get some help from there. So it's kind of an inspiring thing. And so then, by the time you get to the fourth step, which is plan and act, it doesn't seem like such a huge jump, you know, out of an airplane without a parachute or something. It's much more like stepping off a curb or walking up a little slope. Making some changes, if you need to and if you want to, becomes much more of a logical, doable thing instead of such a huge barrier.
Mm-hmm. Once again, if you just tuned in, Linda Hawes Clever, MD, now with the book out, The Fatigue Prescription, helping modern everyday people figure out this crazy life we're mixed up in. And it seems that one of the things that probably led you to this is all this technology that we have has done a whole lot to isolate us, hasn't it?
Actually, it's curious, but yes, it's true. And within the last week, in the New York Times, there was on the front page above the fold, which is kind of the prime place on the New York Times, there was an article about people kind of sitting, not even looking at each other, but they're supposed to be having a dinner with each other, but they're texting somebody else. And then inside, in the same issue, I think it was a couple Mondays ago, I was just looking, I think it was Monday the 7th of June 2010, there were two full pages about the misuse of technology. And technology is wonderful. It's gotten us to very good places. It's just that it can be addicting. It's not the same as having a conversation.
And
it's not the same as going to the beach.
Right. And what's just being discussed lately is the death rate amongst teens texting while they're driving.
Well,
it's an epidemic, isn't it?
Yes. The thing is, teens have more accidents when they're driving anyway. And so that is
well, it might not just be teens, though. I mean, but younger folks, even college age, there's kind of an epidemic of younger folks texting and getting killed while driving, isn't there?
I'm not familiar with all of the data, but I do know that there have been articles about truck drivers do it too, and we know that distracted driving is dangerous. And whether it's texting or cell phoning and so forth and so on, it's just that it's handy for making appointments and saying yes or no. It's not good, whether it's texting or cell phones or Twitter, et cetera, for important things having to do with your soul and your future and your thinking and your real joy. It takes being in touch, almost literally in touch, certainly face-to-face, to have those kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm. And speak a little bit about what is fatigue? How can people recognize it?
The kind of fatigue that I'm talking about is the kind of fatigue that at the end of the day or the end of the week, you look back and say, boy, I have been so busy, but I don't know if I really accomplished anything. Didn't maybe call my mom or dad, or didn't write a letter, or didn't do this or that, you know, but boy, every moment has been taken. So there's that kind of awareness, and there's the awareness of I'm really not enjoying things much anymore. I'm working really hard, but I don't know if it's at the right job. Or I was just talking with a graduate student the other day who said, you know, I think I'm in the wrong field. But at least that's the awareness. But all those wonders are tiring. And people can get headaches. They can have other things go with their body. Their diabetes can get out of good management. You can get stomach aches. You can get grumpy and irritable, and people don't want to be with you anymore because you're not much fun. You can have trouble sleeping. All of these can be signs of, you know, profound clinical depression, too, and that needs medical care and attention. And sometimes, though, it means thinking about yourself and how you're doing and why you're so tired. And so there are many different, there are signals in your body, in your soul, in your relationships. You may have stopped learning things. If you stop learning, you know, it's pretty much over. Because learning is what keeps us going. So there are lots of signals.
And that's on the fatigue side. Now, we got a pretty good idea why you wrote the book. We've talked about conversation and the prescription. But why do you think this book is so important and people ought to read it?
I think we're talking about the 21st century right now, and we're talking about what does the 21st century need from the people who live in it, and its energy, and its ability to solve problems, its ability to cap leaking oil wells, its the ability to think about how do we get address diversity issues or disparity in healthcare or legal aid and so forth and so on. We've got a lot of things to work on, and we need to be energetic. So I think one is the times call for us to be at our best. The second thing is that our family and our friends need us to be in good shape, and that means that we ourselves need to be in good shape, and it is very easy almost to get into a contest of how many committees am I on, how many things can I do per day? And that's quantity, that's not quality. And I think one of the most important things, I guess kind of point number three in a way, is why to read it and why it's important, is because those of us who are involved in caring and caregiving, which is just about everybody, whether it's you're taking care of your parents or your children or yourself or your neighborhood, we can get exhausted doing good, as I said before. And so the message is that it is not selfish to take care of yourself. It's self-preservation, so you can do what you want to do and what you need to do. So we need to get permission to take care of ourselves. It doesn't do any good to go around being just ashes. We need to have some flicker and flame and actual energy. And so part of the reason to read the book is to learn how to take care of your body and your soul and your spirit and your relationships so you can be at your best.
In writing this book, Dr. Clever, how did it change your life? How is your life different now than it was before you got into the process and realizing that you might have had fatigue?
One thing I learned, which has just been such a pleasure, is about friendships. And when I was in such a difficult time in my life, a friend, actually a classmate from Stanford, undergraduate classmate, Paola John Turco, kept calling me up and saying, "How are you doing?" And I finally said, "Paola, why are you calling me? Because I'm not sparkle plenty anymore. I'm not much fun. I'm having just a hard time getting through the day." And Paola said, "I keep calling you because you are my friend." And I know I didn't understand until then, and then listening to others again across the country, how important friends are. And we don't really have that many of them, particularly people who go to school for a while don't have that many friends, and how important friendships are to stay in touch in meaningful ways, and making plans to go for walks together or go to baseball games together or meet somewhere together in the middle of the country. You know, everybody goes there and has a long weekend together. Friendships are really important to keep track of and to keep warm.
So well put, Dr. Clever. Linda Hawes Clever, our guest for this half hour. You're going to be at Kepler's Books in Menlo Park on June 30th at 7:30.
It's true, and we have good times at those book events. I'll tell you, everybody into the pool. That's have good conversation.
That is great. Oh, you open it up so it's not just a one-way conversation?
It certainly isn't me. I've learned things from the book events. They've been terrific.
I was going to say, yeah, because when you open it up like that and you start hearing other people's stories, there's a lot of amazing stuff going on. There's a lot of stressed out people out there that are right up the alley of the subject of this book. It's The Fatigue Prescription, Four Steps to Renewing Your Energy, Health, and Life. Linda Hawes Clever, MD. Foreword by Dean Ornish, MD, and released out through Viva Editions, published by Viva Editions. And
it's at the Stanford Bookstore, for that matter.
Is it?
Yep.
And it better be at Kepler's, too, right?
You bet. Oh, it's at Kepler's and your favorite independent bookstore and non-independent bookstore and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The whole bit. It's fun.
And I kind of hear it in your voice, too. I didn't know you before today, so I can't say that I knew you when you were under all that stress. But it sounds like you're a pretty happy person now and that you're pretty content with your life.
I would say it's a work in progress, but it definitely is. And I think the goal is to make a difference in the world, at least mine is. And I think the happiness comes along as kind of a side effect. Which is really, we're talking about how to have a whole and healthy life, and it's just an enormous pleasure to me as a physician and as a person to see people grow and learn and, you know, have a good time with the book.
Yeah, it must be wonderful. You know, that's got to be renewing in itself. When you go to a book event, you see people getting enlightened and turned on, and actually, you know, it's going to change their life. That's got to be refreshing for you personally.
It makes me smile.
I'll bet. So if folks want to see you live, they can come to Kepler's on June 30th at 7:30 in Menlo Park. You'll be at the Stanford Bookstore in September, and we're going to try to have you back on before that event.
That'd be great.
And two websites people should know about. On the book, it's thefatigueprescription.com. That's the website for the book. And for your not-for-profit organization, where I guess you do seminars, you can come and do a seminar for folks if they contact you, right?
Absolutely.
Or people can show up to one of your seminars.
Yep, seminars, workshops, keynotes, we do it all.
And the website on that is renewnow.org. Have we missed anything?
I think we've got a great start. Thank you.
I know you're busy, and I don't want to keep you too long, but can I call you Dr. Clever?
You can call me Linda.
Linda, I want to thank you so much for your time, and keep up the great work, and we'll have you back on just before you come to the Stanford Bookstore, and we'll see you in Menlo Park on the 30th this month, June 30th, at 7:30 p.m., okay?
Looking forward. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Linda Clever, once again. Linda Hawes Clever, MD. The book, The Fatigue Prescription, Four Steps to Renewing Your Energy, Health, and Life. And you can get her at renewnow.org or the website for the book, thefatigueprescription.com.